the America's Jobs Team podcast. For economic developers, by economic developers. Join the Consultant Connect team every Tuesday and Thursday for discussions surrounding the latest in our industry.
Learn from fellow economic development heroes, get leadership advice, keep on top of industry trends and shifts, and so much more. You are a part of America's Jobs Team.
And we're so glad that you're tuning in. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I am Faye Davis, and I talked with Mitchell Allen, who is the Executive Vice President of Business Development for the Greater Richmond Partnership. I talked to Mitchell about how he decided to make a cross-country move from the Phoenix area to the East Coast and joining the Greater Richmond Partnership. And then we also dive into, you know, all the things that he's doing, the goals that he's setting, how he is integrating into a brand new community and bringing along all of these skills and tools and experiences that he had in his previous region and how that applies to what is happening in the Richmond area. He is such a dynamic leader. He is a wonderful economic developer, and I'm just so inspired by him. So I can't wait for you to listen in. So here we go. Let's go over to Mitchell. All right, everyone. I am here with Mitchell Allen, and I am really excited to talk to you, Mitchell. I just want to dive right in because you are a rising star in the economic development profession, and we really wanted to have you on to talk about some of the big moves that you've made. And I want to pick your brain about all things Richmond, where you are now. But to kick things off, let's talk a little bit about how you got into economic development. And, you know, was it part of your college education or did you fall into the profession?
Like many people, I fell into it, was not planning, didn't know anything about economic development. I graduated college in 2008. And right before I graduated, you know, obviously there was a recession happening. I was looking for an internship, was very fortunate that I found one at the Department of Commerce, state of Arizona, worked in rural economic development, went into a state economic development association meeting on behalf of my old boss, and said, this is something I want to be a part of. And they were gracious enough to provide me with a mentor. Day one, I met with him. He said, put together a five-year plan. And I put economic development at the top of that, not knowing what that was going to lead to. And he ended up introducing me to five other economic developers around the region, Phoenix, and one of which was Chris Camacho. I gave everyone my resume. Chris took it. And next thing you know, I had a research internship at the Greater Phoenix Economic Council, which led to this amazing career that has taken me out to Richmond now. So it's been a fun ride.
I love that. I love hearing that. And Chris Camacho, regular on the podcast, he's brilliant economic developer. But last summer, you made a very large cross-country move. So you had spent the majority of your career in the Greater Phoenix area. And in June 2021, you moved on to different pastures on the east side of the country. And you joined the Greater Richmond Partnership. So I would love to know, what drew you to Richmond? How hard was it to make that decision to leave your stomping grounds? And what lessons have you learned along the way?
Yeah, so prior to moving to Richmond, I spent my entire career in Phoenix. And, you know, it was a tough decision. It was, I loved the market. I loved the impact I'd made in my 10 plus years in the region, being able to drive around and go, I worked on this project, and seeing, you know, running into people, finding out that they had jobs there, and seeing the impact firsthand. So I felt that Phoenix was in a really good spot. I wanted a new challenge. And I had been out to Richmond for a conference previously. And when I saw the opportunity come up, I was a little wary of the opportunity, but I had a chance to talk to the CEO, Jennifer Wakefield, loved her vision, and said, this is kind of the right move for me. And so the decision took, several days and nights of kind of thinking through, you know, leaving your family behind and making the, you know, 2,400 mile trek. But I don't regret it. It's probably been one of the easiest communities to not only get to know, but everyone's so friendly. I've made such a great network of friends already, even just around the new home I'm in. It's been one that's been fun, but also a learning experience overall. So, I love it here.
I love that. And, you know, before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about the weather, but I love how that you're just taking it in stride. You know, you're a desert boy, and now you are on the east side, and you were talking about snow. So tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm behind on all of my snow gear. So the first snow came in, I didn't have a real jacket, so ordered that. Then it melts, and then I get it in the mail, and then I'm ready for the next day. Then I bought snow boots. And then I bought the brush and the scraper thing. And so I had to do that for the first time. So I feel like I'm like one day behind when I actually need things. But at the same time, it's been fun. It's one of those things where like, I want to be on the snow. I want to be playing while all my colleagues are going, oh, it's snowing again. I'm looking out there going, oh, I wish it sticks. I can't wait to go out there and, you know, have my dog out there because he loves colder weather. He's a, you know, he's a big fur baby. And for me, it's all new. And I will take being cold over being in 120 degree heat any day. And, you know, it's fun. I look forward to the snow that's hopefully coming tonight.
I love that. I feel like it's such a metaphor, right? Like these new experiences start happening and you buy the gear, you get the skills you need to be prepared for the next time that it happens. So after one winter there, you'll be all set up for next year. When it happens all over again, you'll have everything you need. But speaking of that, you know, while you were in Phoenix, you were part of some of those enormous project announcements and you were there when that super cycle of the suppliers started kicking into gear. So how do you take those experiences, right? The gear that you loaded up on over there, how do you translate those experiences to where you are now, to the work you're doing in Richmond now? And where do you see the region exploding with growth over the next few years?
Yeah, so Phoenix is still in that high point. You know, they're still seeing a lot of success. I had an opportunity to work on a lot of great, amazing projects, big names. And it really is a relationship business and knowing, you know, how to bring the right partners together, how to promote a region, how to have a vision for the community. And coming to Richmond, you know, we have a lot of great partners. We have Jennifer Wakefield's put together a great vision for the region. It's business attraction and lead generation, and then using research and marketing to kind of go around that so that we can be top tier mid-market region and really promoting, you know, all the great things that Richmond has. You know, because it is really a community that's, I feel, one is either overlooked or people don't know of, or if they do know of us, they know of us for, you know, maybe statues coming down or you know, the history that's here. And so, you know, I'm hoping to kind of change that and change that attitude and kind of let people see, you know, all the great things that I've come to know and learn and am still learning that the region has to offer. As far as where I see us, we're making a lot of great strides in pulling together property so that we have a really robust industrial corridor as more advanced manufacturing comes online, as more data centers are needed in this world. We've got, you know, such a great story to tell from the corporate services side and the middle office. You know, as companies are leaving, you know, these higher price markets and are wanting to find a place for their employees to come in and actually have a place to live that's affordable, that provides a rich environment for their personal life and their professional life, they're looking at Richmond. And I see us really kind of taking off over the next 3 to 5 years and in that area, as well as, you know, all the tech talent and a lot of the corporate services and big name brands that are already here. We're just going to continue to add to that. So
you, and I'm about to go off script, so just to warn you, but so you and Jennifer are both fairly new to the region, to the Greater Richmond Partnership. So I'm just curious how you are streamlining all of those opportunities you're seeing and how you're prioritizing, you know, what do we work on first? What is most important? What's going to move the needle first? Like, how are you both going through those thought processes and, you know, linking arms on those things together?
Yeah. So, you know, Jennifer has the more difficult job than me. She has to get buy-in, input, and consensus from all of our local and private partners, and mostly on the local side, getting them all on board to see that same vision. And she's done a fantastic job of doing that. Where I come in, I'm very fortunate that we have an amazing team. You know, walking in, we've got a lot of great players who are able to really carry us forward. And our business development team is already strong. And so we're, you know, when I came in, I'm learning from them about what's taking place in the market. And as I continue to kind of see where those opportunities are, collaborating with Jennifer, collaborating with our local partners and saying, here's where I see potential weakness, but also an opportunity for us to really attract some of these advanced manufacturers, semiconductors, this high tech talent that's coming in. Or we're looking again at the middle office piece, the corporate services side. We can't be everything for everyone, but I think that we, you know, as long as we keep true to ourselves, keep that narrative of who Richmond is, that, you know, we're a little bit grungy, but we're quick on our feet, and we've got, you know, this great, rich environment. I mean, the food scene here is such an amazing culture. There's so many local places I feel like you could go to a restaurant every single day throughout the year and not hit the same one twice. And, you know, so in my mind, it's telling that story to potential prospects and making sure that they understand that, you know, we're not just a community to look over. It's we can really compete with the likes of Charlotte, Raleigh, Nashville, et cetera.
That's awesome. Okay, I'm about to get really, really into the nitty gritty. I'm going to start asking you a question about the Port of Virginia, really, because I get so intrigued by the supply chain crisis and the port backups all over the country. But the Port of Virginia has not had those congestion issues, and they continue to handle record volumes without issue. So what is the secret here? And, you know, are you seeing companies changing their routes to divert to Virginia to speed up their unloading? Like, what's happening here? Because that's awesome.
Yeah. No, it is great. A lot of that comes down to what the state has been able to do, what the port, what all the other regional groups are doing there. What's happening is they're investing in the port's future. And that has allowed us to stay ahead of a lot of these supplier issues and the labor issues that are taking place in California and New York, New Jersey. We continue to invest in our future that allows us to be, you know, on the cutting edge and be in front of, you know, these major disruptions. And, you know, all of that ends up coming through. So when something comes through the port, it'll eventually go through Richmond and either up north or down south or even farther west. So it's a great asset. It's something that's new to me, being from Arizona where you're landlocked. But the folks at the port have been fantastic to work with. You know, we're bringing in new clients that have a need for the port, that have a need for bringing in product, either distributing it out or manufacturing something new. And really, it comes down to the fact that the state continues to invest millions, if not billions of dollars year over year so that we can continue to expand and allow us to be first in class when companies are thinking, you know, what's the best place to offload product into the U.S.
I think that's such an asset to have, and it's such a selling point right now. Mitchell, our time is almost up, but I want to end on this question because I admire you as an economic developer. I love seeing the work that you do. I admire you as a leader. But I would love to know, what is one big thing that you hope to accomplish in 2022? And how did you go about setting that goal? And how are you working towards that?
Yeah, so I kind of alluded to this earlier. Richmond is, you know, the best kept secret. And that can be great, and that can be to our detriment. My goal is to really promote and let people understand what the Richmond region has to offer, and so that we're not overlooked. You know, because again, I think there are a lot of folks that haven't spent any time in Richmond. And so we're trying to fly out consultants. We're bringing clients to give them a real sense of what the community has to offer, what the assets are here, what the network is that allows us to be a dynamic market. And so last week, we hosted four consultants. We're going to continue to do that so that people really get a sense of all the amenities, all the live, work, play that takes place here and the quality of life that's here. And that's one of my goals, because the more people know about us, the better we'll be at attracting and getting on that shortlist for projects. And then we can bring in more jobs and help create a more dynamic economic base for the future.
I think that's great. It's a lofty goal and it's an honorable goal. And I love that. I was really scared for a second you were going to tell me that your goal was to fill your war chest of winter gear, which is also a really good goal to have. But Mitchell, thank you. Thank you for taking, you know, 20 minutes to talk with me, to hang out and let us pick your brain. You're doing awesome things, and we're really excited to see what you keep doing over there in the greater Richmond area. So thank you again. And to our listening audience, thank you for joining again.
Thanks, Faye. Have a great day.
Thanks for sticking with us till the very end. This podcast is sponsored by Research on Investment, Lead Generation for Economic Development, and Gazelle AI. Spend more time closing, less time chasing. Did you like what you heard today? Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The America's Jobs Team podcast is audio engineered by Andrea Fuller and produced by Faye Davis.